glad that you guys are here. Have y'all enjoyed this? This is week three. Has this been good?
Yes.
It's been on. Has it stretched you a little bit?
Absolutely.
How about a lot? Anybody stretch you a lot? She shoots her hand up back there. Well, good. That's what it's supposed to do in a good way. And those of you that are jumping back in with us that weren't able to join the first week or first couple weeks, we're so glad that you guys are here. Good to have Miss Pat back and recovering well from her surgery. So it's good to have you. And well, guys, we're going to jump right in. And tonight we're going to talk about understanding the biblical teaching of fasting and prayer. And as you know, we just came off of a corporate fast that we did as a church just a few weeks ago. How many of you, participated in that fast? A lot of you guys. Awesome. How many of you that participated in it, was it your first ever fast that you did? Anybody? A couple of you guys. Awesome. That's cool. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we're going to talk about that tonight. And I know you touched on it in Grow One as well. And we're going to dive in a little bit more tonight. And what's cool, I'm excited about, is the first 2 weeks we had you do some work, you know, at your tables there, some group work. Tonight you're gonna dig even harder tonight. You're gonna spend even a little bit more time. So it's gonna be a whole lot more of you guys discovering and digging and finding the gold in God's word tonight, and less of us teaching. So I'm excited about that you guys get to dig a lot. But let's do this first. What is a fast? Just to kind of catch us up to speed with that. I love Matthew chapter 6, verses 5. It says, and when you pray, right? Jesus is speaking, and he says, and when you pray. I love that because it's not a suggestion. It's not a if you pray. It's not, when it's convenient for you, when you're not busy, right? It's when, and that is showing us that it's expected, right, that we need to be praying. And so it says, and when you pray. If you go down to verse 16 in that same chapter, it says, and when you fast. So there's that word again, and when you fast. I love that because, again, it's not saying if you feel like it or if you understand it or whatever. It's when. It's something that God wants us to do and participate in, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. And so when we look at fasting, it's the practice of abstaining from food, either completely or partially, for a specific period. It's an ancient practice found in most religions of the world. But sometimes it's not just food. Sometimes it's media, right? How many of you maybe fasted just like social media, all of that during our 21-day fast? I know my daughter did that for a little bit, you know, and she thought it was the end of the world. And but she chose to do that, right? So there's different fasts like that. The discipline of fasting is available to strengthen you spiritually and to help you overcome barriers that might keep you from living the victorious Christian life. I love that, right? Because that's what God wants. He wants you to walk and live in a victorious Christian life. Does that mean a perfect life? No. It's not a life that where all of our troubles go away and we don't have challenges and stuff. But he gives us the strength, the help to overcome barriers that come to us because we have barriers in life. There's roadblocks that come in our life, and God gives us the ability to live victoriously in that Christian life. And so if you're serious enough about the personal and social task before you as a Christian to take up the discipline of fasting, guess what? You can expect. Everybody say expect.
Expect.
You can expect resistance. You can expect interference and opposition. Okay? It's just going to happen. Why? Because here's the deal. The enemy, the devil, he doesn't care if you come to Timber Creek on Sunday mornings and come to church and just sit in the seat. He's cool with that. He doesn't mind that. He doesn't mind maybe if you go stop by Cafe Aroma and you just do your duty once a week and come to church and check that off your calendar that, hey, I did that, and maybe even stand up and raise your hand every once in a while during a song. But, man, when you start to grow in your relationship with the Lord and you begin to step into more of what God has for you and grow and get in accountability and get in community and do things like fasting, he doesn't like it. He doesn't like it at all. So expect resistance. Expect interference, opposition. How many of you experienced some of that during that 21-day fast last month? Anybody? I did. I really did, man. I've had fasts where it just seems like everything's just magical and awesome and things work out. And then I've had fasts like this one last month where it just seems like God slapped me around a little bit and taught me some things. And I'm like, okay, all right. And that's how this one felt. But it was so good, too, at the same time, and learned so much. Remember that you're attempting to advance in your spiritual journey to gain ground for the kingdom, right? And that's huge, because you want to gain ground for the kingdom. That necessitates taking ground away from the enemy. Gotta love that. You're taking ground away from the enemy. And no great movement of the Holy Spirit goes unchallenged by the enemy. He doesn't like it. He's going to challenge it. But God's with us, and he teaches us so much, and he's with us during those times, right? Here's another thing. Prayer is about connecting to God. It's in your notes there. We know that, right? Prayer is about connecting to God. But fasting is about disconnecting from the world. It's about disconnecting. If you did disconnect from social media, I did a Daniel fast, and then I also disconnected from Facebook, right? I honestly am just like, I don't know if I want to go back to Facebook. I mean, I have a little bit, but it was like, it was just very eye-opening for me, you know? And there was just something about that where God could have more time with me, and I could give him more attention. And it is. It's a true disconnect from the things of this world, the busyness, the craziness. And that is such another attack of the enemy that he traps us in, is just busyness and just the loudness of life. And when we disconnect, we connect to God, all right? So good thoughts there. That's fasting. And what we're going to do tonight, as I said, we've had you dig a little bit the last couple weeks, but tonight we're really going to have you dig quite a bit, okay? And so what we're going to do at your table there is we have a group exercise. It's in your notes. And the first thing we're going to do is we've got a passage there for you in 1 Samuel chapter 24. And you guys are going to read that passage. We even encourage you to use some soap on it, right? Do what we kind of taught you a little bit last week. Look at that a little bit. But as you read that passage, and then there's some questions, because this first one really is fasting done wrong. We're giving you an example from Scripture of how fasting was used in the wrong way and the consequences that kind of came with it, right? So we want you to read that. There's some questions there in your notes, and then we want you to answer those, and then we're going to come back. Does that sound good? Everybody understand what we're doing? So we're going to give you about 7 or 8 minutes on this one, and then we're going to jump into another passage that shows us how it's done right, okay? But let's start with this one. Hey guys, it's actually 1 Samuel 14. This table over here and that table over there wins the car. Your car's right outside. You win the brand new car for catching that. You didn't tell me, man. You didn't say nothing.
We were trying to see if you guys were using soap. I'm kidding. I did this at home when my son was around. I was happy with it. I'm kidding.
No other God can be called a father. No other God can be called a friend. No other God can be called redeemer. No other God's coming back again. And how we love, and how we
So number five were his remarks about the fast, right or wrong. His is Jonathan, not Saul. Were Jonathan's remarks. Okay?
We love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. No other God can be called a father.
All right, guys, we'll give you about one more minute to finish up this one because we got another one for you. So take about one more minute.
All right, are you guys done? You done? Yeah? Yes? No? Maybe so. All right, so here we go. We're going to go over this together. Most of them are pretty like black and white, but maybe there are a few that have some subjectivity to them that we can discuss if need be. But let's I'm going to call on tables. How should we do this, Pastor Stephen, so everyone's not yelling it out at the same time? Survey says. All right, Pyatts, you get the first one then. Okay, who called the fast? King Saul. Is this the same Saul that became Paul? No. Right? Like many, 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 many hundreds of years difference between them, okay? Why did King Saul call the fast? Raise your hand. Anybody? You want to try it? He wanted to take, I like how she said that. She said he wanted to take out his vengeance on his enemies. What a great, what are you, like been in ministry or something? That's incredible. she has been. All right, anyone have anything different, something to add to it? Because I have some other comments on it. Anybody else?
He was selfish. He was already disobedient.
Why? Yeah, he did. That causes him some big trouble, doesn't he? Yeah, that's right. Very good. Very, very good. Okay. Anything else would you guys add? And what did you guys say over here?
Yeah, we just said he called the fast until he could avenge himself of his enemy.
Okay. So, absolutely. I wrote he was scared and afraid of the enemy. Did anyone else feel like he was kind of mad at his guys? So he was doing it because he was mad at the enemy, but if you really study it more, he's very aggressive with his guys, and it's almost like you didn't get the job done, so I'm going to crack the whip harder kind of a thing. But here's something cool about what he did. He calls a fast because he knows the power of fasting. So King Saul knew, he just uses it the wrong way. So God doesn't honor that. But I do want to make a strong point here that King Saul, even as wicked as he had become at this point, messed up off track, way off track with the Lord, he remembers what happens when he fasts. So don't ever forget, fasting is powerful, powerful when combined with prayer, when led by the Holy Spirit against the enemy every time. Miss Sarah. Right. I have a lot of people, Pastor Stephen, you may add to this if you want. I have a lot of people always say, how do I know what God's will is or if the voice I'm hearing is the Lord? We're going to get into that in a few weeks in here, the voice of God. But while you're on that, the easy answer is always, if what you're hearing or the advice you're being given or what you're sensing in your heart goes against one of the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, it's not the Holy Spirit who's God. So if the voice brings fear, if the prompting causes confusion, if the advice puts the character of God in question or goes against one of the nine fruits, it is not the voice of God, because the fruit of the Holy Spirit is the evidence of the Holy Spirit at work, okay? All right, let's go on to the next one. Pastor Stephen, any of these, you want to do the number three? All right. What is wrong about the specific call to fast? We kind of touched on it. How did he want to use the fast? It was wrong. He did it selfishly. He did it to take vengeance. But what specific, yes, absolutely. I used the same word, Renee. She said control. Anyone else throw another one out there? That's good. That's good. Yes. Kind of steps out there a little bit. Now, pastor will say to us, hey, I'm feeling like the Lord is calling us to a time of fasting and prayer. Would you join me? Very rarely has pastor ever said, this is exactly how I want you to fast for these exact days. Do it or you're in trouble. He's never actually said it like that. Now, with the pastors and the staff, sometimes he'll be pretty specific that the Lord is telling him this, and we, of course, submit to that and jump on board. But, yeah, not forcefully and not like you better. Any other thoughts on that? I saw a couple hands. Alyssa. That's good. Okay, so that's really great. The word manipulation is key here. Control and manipulation are hand in hand. They are one and the same. So definitely, I think manipulation brings out of it that was something I was wanting to bring out. That's really good. I think I saw your hand, Jeremy. Remember Jeremiah?
She said pretty much what I was going to say. I mean, we dilute God down to a cosmic genie sometimes, that if we almost use the mechanisms and the institutions that he's put in place for our own selfish gain, and that's exactly what Saul was doing. Mm-hmm. He knew, well, if I do this, then God better do this, but
yep.
That's
so good. I like it. I just said that to my daughter last night. I said, he's not a genie in a lamp, Victoria. Like, you don't just get to rub it and, like, poof. I said, how about instead of talking about, because her fish is still sick. We've had, like, some drama over this fish, man, I'm telling you. We have laid hands on him through this thing. I mean, we have been, I'm not kidding. I was at Walmart at, like, 10 o'clock the other night getting meds for him. I've used Epsom salt. I've used another medication that didn't work. Like, Spencer's got to be healed, and he's not. And so Victoria was questioning that last night, and I said, he's not a genie in a lamp. And I said, how about instead of you focusing on what God hasn't done, how about you make a list over here of all the things God has done before you start complaining and compare it to what God hasn't, and then we'll talk. So anyway, that's how I parent. that's how I roll. Okay? I will debate with my child, huh?
Oh.
That reminds me of. Is that his bowl? Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, so moving on. I did have advice of one of my friends to put him on a 3-day fast, but it wasn't for spiritual purposes. They think he's constipated. But Victoria goes. What is wrong with me tonight? I don't know. It's Grow One's fault. They played a game and got me in a goofy mood, so now I'm all weird. We are talking about fish poop in Grow Two. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I better go on. Okay. Pray for Spencer. We need healing. So, genie in a lamp, absolutely. I wrote, he wanted to use fasting as a means of control to make God do what he wanted to win the battle. So that's a wrong motivation there. Number four, what did Jonathan do, his son? Everyone realizes this is Saul's son, Jonathan, to put his life in danger. What did he do? He ate it. Now, you said anyway, but did Jonathan, did he know? He didn't know, did he? So he's not in sin in this. He's completely ignorant of what Dad said, King Saul. And he eats. What was the result of him eating? He felt better. Does anyone know the other part of the story of what he did before this scripture? He basically takes out a whole bunch of dudes, okay? So he wins. And it was because he had eaten and was strong. He gets back and they're all like, oh, you ate, right? And freak out. So what were his remarks about the fast? Were his remarks about the fast right or wrong? Why or why not? Jonathan's remarks. James.
We were discussing Mm-hmm. We can stay in basically. He said my father has trouble lens. You know how my eyes have brightened because I taste a little bit of this honey.
Mm-hmm.
How much more? And I didn't really understand this part. I don't think. So how much more if only the people I eat freely today have spoiled their enemies which they have found? So basically, we got from that if people had been able to eat of the honey, they would have been strengthened. They would
correct.
They would have had a morale booster.
Yeah, and they would have even had, like, let's just not even spiritualize this, like common sense. They could hardly walk. They're so fatigued and worn out. And he calls this complete fast. Like, where's the wisdom of that? Did you know wisdom is a supernatural gift of the Spirit? Like, use it. Use it. Wisdom will protect you from stupid, bad pain. You better take this mic. All right. Let's go on to application. Application today. Gosh. List several examples of good reasons to fast. Okay, so now let's take it. We apply soap to it, right? We read the scripture. Oh, we observed it. Now let's take some time to A, let's apply it. Apply. Give me some examples of good reasons for fasting quickly. Who? To pray and intercede for someone. I saw Mary.
Can I read this?
Sure. Yes. So that's Isaiah 58. And at the beginning of Isaiah 58, we were going to do that one tonight, but for the sake of time, I didn't have time. Because at the beginning of Isaiah 58, the people of God are fasting and God is getting on to them because they're fasting for the wrong reasons and in the wrong way. That's a fantastic thing to study in addition to your Bible reading this week, guys. Isaiah 58. So then what she just read is the fast that God has chosen. And God says, this is how you've done it. This was not right. This is the kind of fast I desire. Like, if you're going to fast, it should the result not be to break the bonds of wickedness? Do you see the intercession right there? Fasting and praying for people to be saved, fasting and praying for the kingdom of darkness to be destroyed, right? Very powerful scripture. What else? What other kinds of fasts? For what kind? Purposes? James?
I was saying just getting closer to God.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's good. You know that scripture, it says God loves a cheerful giver. I think God loves a cheerful faster. That is not scriptural. That is Talia Revised Standard Version. But that is definitely something true. This table is way too quiet, and there is a wealth of wisdom and knowledge back here. What are some fasts you guys have done, or what are some fasts that you say are good examples of fasting? For deliverance? Breakthrough? Absolutely. Anything else? Anyone else?
Strongholds.
To break strongholds? Yeah. Bondage. Yeah, bondage. We're getting into some deeper stuff there that Encounter gets into. But yeah, absolutely. That's real stuff. Joyce? Yes. I do that one a lot. Wisdom and direction. What were you going to say?
Clarity.
For clarity. For healing? Yeah, that's good. Over here, Jeremy Pyatt and then Dan.
You said to disconnect from the world.
Yes. And not just go without.
Someone once told me that fasting without prayer is just starvation. So, if you're not filling that with seeking the Lord, then you're just starving yourself.
And let me add to that just real fast, because we need to move on to the next one. But there, I want to make sure, Paul says, I pray without ceasing. So there is the kind of place that you get into with the Lord, that kind of connection to the vine, and relationally connected with Jesus through his Holy Spirit, that you can be walking through the day and internally talking to the Lord. So there are times when I have my meetings back-to-back, usually all day long on Tuesdays, and that's the day I fast on Tuesdays. But I'm telling you, when I have to go without the meal and the staff's eating, I'm praying internally. Like, it reminds me of why I'm not eating, and I internally am praying, even though I can't get away and pray. So just, yes, do you need to be intentional with times of prayer with fasting, 100%. But pray without ceasing. Pray in your heart. Pray in your mind. Pray in your, you know, to yourself. Even I just want to make sure you understand that that is also super powerful when you're fasting. All right, the next one. What must you be careful to do before starting a fast and why? There we go. What are the motives? What else? Yes, be intentional. I love it. That's fantastic. So we are going to check our motives, and we're going to be intentional. Very good. Yes. And so we're getting ready to get into that now. So here's your next assignment. Ready? You guys have another group exercise to take 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 through 29. And I know this one's right. I was a little out of it today. I promise you guys. I'm so sorry. I think it was all the chocolate-covered strawberries I ate. I didn't eat lunch. I just ate candy, I think, all day long. 2 Chronicles 20, 1 through 29. 1 through 29, you guys have the questions right there on your mark. Get set. Use soap. I hate to admit this, but I have another mistake in the notes. This is like humble Talia day. Number one is why. Why did King Jehoshaphat call the people to a fast? Why? Courtney, I need you to proofread my notes from now on.
Holy Spirit, when you walk into the room, everything changes. The darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. When you walk into the room, every heart starts burning and nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. So we worship you. We can't live without you.
2 minutes. 2 to 3 minutes. Plow through it.
Consume God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you.
Okay, I know we could spend so much more time on it, but alas, we are running out of time. So let's talk about this. We've got 2 Chronicles chapter 20, very famous story in the Bible. You will hear many sermons on this throughout your Christian life. There's a lot to unpack in that. We can't unpack all of it tonight. There's a great teaching on worship alone and the power of worship in that chapter. It's incredible. But let's talk about why, number one, did King Jehoshaphat call the people to fast? Why did he ask them to? What's happening? Tell me. They're going to be attacked by who? They're presented with a problem. Absolutely. That's right. Have you ever been in a place where you feel like 30,000 Ammonites have just come up against you out of the blue? Mm-hmm. Yep, me too. That's where they are. And hey, guess what? It happens without warning. Okay? So they don't know it's coming. It's just like, bam, right? And they're way outnumbered. And Jehoshaphat calls a fast. I wrote, the enemy came against them suddenly. They were terribly outnumbered by the enemy, and he knew that without God's intervention and protection, that his people would be utterly destroyed. His fast was a fast of surrender to God in humility,
to remove self out of the way and to allow God to come and do what only he could do. Because there are just things that happen in life where things don't make sense and everything you've done isn't fixing it, and that's when only God can come in and fix that. All right, number two, how do you know his motives were right before God as opposed to King Saul's? Talk to me about that. What do you mean he asked before? Who does he ask? What's he do? So it wasn't a mandate, like Brian said earlier. It wasn't this forced thing. What else? Talk to me over here, guys. Somewhere over here. What else? Right. He was not doing it to control them. Once again, why was he doing it? That's right. He's crying out to God, right? Okay, any other observations on that? Anything else you guys would add? Okay, we'll go here and then we'll go to Brian. Who was talking? He calls the fast. Yes. Oh, it's Tommy. Yes, he didn't demand it. He calls it. Versus King Saul's fast, I wrote, it was simply almost reactionary and was almost done as a means of punishment once again, whereas he's seeking for the hand of God. Here we go, intercession again. Come in here and do what only he can do and fix what's happening in the physical. Brian.
I thought it was pretty cool that he accepted responsibility and he accepted the consequences that God might bestow upon them.
Yep.
But in doing so, he also recalled to God, or brought to God's memory, what God had made promises to others before.
Oh, I love that. Did you hear that? So in his crying out to God, he's reminding God of what God has said. You know, it's okay to do that. It's okay to remind the Lord of what he has said. Remind him of the promises in his word. Remind him of those things. It's not that he forgot, but boy, it's just like when my daughter says, but mommy, remember you said, I get to stay up 30 minutes late tonight because I did the laundry. It's not that I forgot, but boy, she'll hold me to it. And I love that about her. I love that. Like, we can hold, God is not offended by us reminding of him what he said. Because he's not a man that he should lie. He's not a son of man that he should change his mind, right? Number 1623. Go ahead. Absolutely.
And that's not what's going on with Jehoshaphat.
Man.
It's such humility, and it's all about care and concern for his people.
Yes.
And not his own pride and his saving face. And so, I mean,
what a powerful leadership teaching on that. Yeah. You should work on that. You should work on a message on the leadership flaws of Saul compared to Jehoshaphat, and you'd have a great sermon. All right. So, yes. Let's go to the next one. How did the people respond to the call to fast and pray? What did the people do in response? They willingly joined. Very good. Okay, number four, what were the results of this fast and what did it set in motion? God did. What were some things that immediately started happening? Let's rewind before God delivers them. He does. Yes. That's right. That's right.
He didn't require them to do much. He just said, go here. And
that's right. For those of you guys who feel called to teach or preach in any way or lead a group, here's a great technique. Anytime you see something like that, this is cause and effect. Let's see what God did. How did it affect the hearts of the people? When God shows up, God gives directives and orders. What did that do in the hearts of the people? What changed?
It gave them confidence.
That's right. Okay? And it gave encouragement. And I wrote the word courage. I said, fear melts away in this moment. Courage springs up in the hearts of God's people. They become clear-minded and developed an amazing, kind of crazy strategy with God's direction to defeat the enemy. Very good job. Number five, what would happen had they not fasted? What would have happened? You know, if there's no way I'll ever have time, I don't think, to do a sermon of the different fasts I've done and the results that came as a result. That honestly, lives were changed not because of me and not because of the people who fasted with me, but the prayers, what God did through fast, what God did through fasting and prayer. I can tell you people who are serving Jesus now because of it, families that were healed because of fasting and prayer. And I look back on that and I see these people and what would have happened if we would have been too busy to fast and pray? Where would you understand this church was built on fasting and prayer? Do you understand, like, that is, there is a deep root heritage here of fasting and prayer. And so when people come in here and they feel the presence of the Lord, you know what Pastor always says to people when they say, what is so special? How do you, I've been to churches for years. We have consultants that will come and they'll say, there's something different here. You know what he says? It's almost 100 years of prayer and seeking the Lord and fasting that's happened here on this campus for this church. It changes things, guys. Fasting and prayer changes and changes the current situation. And my pushback to you tonight is, what will happen in the problem or the situation you're facing right now if you don't fast and pray? All right? Application today, though. Give some examples of situations in modern day life that are good occasions to fast and pray. Good occasions. Talk to me. Major life decision. Yeah, kind of goes back to, I think, what Joy said earlier for clarity. Absolutely. What else? James. When you're in times of conflict, definitely. What else? Good occasions for fasting and prayer. Rebellious kids. Anytime, let me throw this out there. Anytime I feel like the Lord puts it on my heart to fast, I'm going to fast. I know when I'm doing it as a work of the flesh, when it feels very burdensome and hard and I'm cranky about it. Those are 99% of the times that Talia's trying to control God. And by golly, I'm going to make God do this thing. She says go eat. But the serious answer, you know, I told this to a guy the other day. He was just really striving, and he's like, I've just got to make this happen. And I said, you know, the greatest faith is the faith that can wait upon the Lord, where he renews your strength. You mount up with wings like eagles. You will walk and not grow weary. You shall run and not faint. Right? There is some, you want to talk about the strongest faith? Is the faith that can wait when the Holy Spirit says, nope, don't fast right now. How do I know that? We're going to get into teaching on how to hear the voice of God very soon. It's actually, I think, two or three weeks away. But to answer your question, you remember we've talked about staying connected to the vine. I know we're almost out of time here. But staying connected to the vine is so important because he says, my sheep, Jesus is our vine. He's also referred to as a shepherd, another metaphor. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice. In fact, the sheep know the shepherd's voice so well, Jesus says that when the hireling comes in, they won't follow him. Looks like a shepherd, smells like a shepherd, but the tone of the voice doesn't match mine. Therefore, they won't listen to his voice. And God desires such a close relationship with you that you hear and understand the echoes of the sound of his voice. You know when the Lord is speaking to you when he's not. And I know that's a very, very kind of vague answer, but it is the answer. It's listening and being led by the Spirit on that. What is the fruit of the thought of fasting? What is the fruit of the thought of fasting? Do you feel challenged and empowered? And is the fruit excitement and faith, right? Those are good fasts. I can tell you sometimes there is a feeling of I'm trying not to get weird or like too deep in it. I just feel like God is calling me to go to war for someone. I can feel it as I'm praying for him. And I can tell the Lord saying, there are obstacles, Talia, I need you to pray through. I love to pray like that. I feel called to pray like that. Not everyone's maybe called to pray at that, but I feel called to pray that way. And I will feel it. I just know in my knower, God is showing me because of the relationship. He can trust me with it. There's something going on there. I don't understand it, but he needs me to fast and pray that goes. And I can't, in those situations, Jeremy, I can't not fast. It's pounding on me. There's an urgency, and I know it. And then other times there's an excitement, and there's great faith and expectancy. And then God will give me a very clear understanding of how and how long and what kind. It all comes together very quickly. When there's this struggle and it feels like a work of the flesh. Here we go. If anything feels like a work of the flesh, it probably is. We want to do works of the Spirit. We want to be led by the Spirit. And as we follow the Spirit, we do have to use our flesh to carry it out. But we want to be led by the Spirit. All right? How will fasting help that situation? Let's finish with this. Obviously, we know fasting brings breakthrough. What could happen as a result of choosing not to fast and pray over that? We just answered that when we were up here. So now I want to finish with this. Pastor Stephen, you want to just quickly, we have 7 minutes on this. We're good. 7 minutes left. And we're going to teach you guys very quickly about what fasting does in our lives. And we have a homework assignment for you as well. Pastor Stephen.
All right, so we'll go through these kind of quick so you guys get them. But what fasting does in our lives, number one, fasting helps us overcome temptation, right? That's huge. If you ask Christians to name a fast by a biblical character in the Bible, they'll most probably mention in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11, Jesus going into the wilderness, right? And before he was tempted, right? He spent 40 days, 40 nights in the wilderness fasting. And because of that fast, he was prepared to overcome this direct attack that came on him, right? This temptation from the devil himself. And it's the strongest attack of the enemy on him until later he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? I mean, that's probably the strongest attack at him. And one thing we learn from this example of Jesus is that in the wilderness is that fasting, I love this quote, fasting is a way of overcoming temptation and of freshly dedicating ourselves to the Father, right? And so fasting does that in our lives. It helps us with that temptation. No matter what that might be, there are times we struggle with temptation. And we anticipate wrestling with it. And when we need an extra spiritual strength to overcome it, we can fast. And God will help us with that, okay? And then down here, this little sub-point, denial produces discipline, right? How many of you love discipline, right? It's not always fun, but man, there's just something about that. I watch these Olympic athletes right now in the Winter Olympics, you know, and I was just thinking last night, I was like, some of these kids, because some of them are kids, they've given up their life for this, man. They have denied themselves, you know, a normal life that I had when I was a kid. Why? So they'd be disciplined to be the athlete, to be the best in the world that they're doing, right? There's this idea of denial produces discipline. I love Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Now, if it stopped right there, that'd be a little depressing, right? Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness. That's cool. And peace for those who have been trained by it. And so this denial of those earthly things, those things we enjoy, brings about this discipline that just takes us to a whole new level in our relationship with the Lord and knowing his voice and knowing him, right? So
good. Yeah. It's one of my favorite scriptures. All right, number two, what does fasting do in our lives? It brings breakthrough. I think we've covered that really well tonight, but I want to read this scripture here. Daniel 1 and then Daniel chapter 1. You guys can study that on your own. When he fasts and what happens. But then 10, 12 through 14 says this. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. This is an angel talking to Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind." Did you hear that? He set his mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God. Your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. If you read ahead, you find out he not only prayed, he was fasting. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, who's another archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Wow, you guys should study that. Do some soap on that one. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. Ephesians 6:12, what a great scripture. For our struggle with the rebellious child, our struggle with the flesh of temptation, Our struggle in our marriage is not against flesh and blood, but against who? Rulers, and against authorities, and against powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. We don't have time to teach on that tonight. But I am telling you, I've heard some people try to take this and dissect it. Oh, let's talk about what are the difference between rulers and authorities and powers. Well, bottom line, there is some junk you can't see. It is invisible and it's real. It can affect you just as easily as it affects your children. Pastor always says, and I love it, there are no such things as child-sized demons. The same demons you fight are the same size and strength they do. You got to be praying over your kids. If you're not fasting and prayer, preventative prayers over your children, you need to start now praying over your children and their future. You don't wait until they're dating the wrong guy to start fasting and praying. You fast and pray as an adult now when they're 3 and 2 that they will never engage in a wrong relationship, that God will protect them from stupid, wasted pain. Come on now, people. Don't just remember the different kinds of prayer. Don't just do flare fasting and prayer. Do intercessory, right? Go ahead. Intercession goes ahead, right? Number 3.
Yeah, fasting weakens the flesh and strengthens your spirit. Fasting weakens the flesh and strengthens your spirit. You know, just think of what happens when you go. Maybe some of you said that you fasted for the first time, or you fasted just last month, and you begin to go on this fast. And I went on a Daniel fast, and I think of what happens to me physically, and my body just begins to really miss that sugar, right, in the coffee. And then I miss the coffee because I couldn't have the coffee, right? My body misses the sugar from the Dr. Pepper. Can I get an amen, Jeremiah Campbell? We have a man. We love some Dr. Pepper, but you know, you're feeling weak in your flesh, but then your spirit begins to be strengthened through God. And how cool is that, man? You start pressing into that and doing it for the right motives, and you really start trusting the Lord. And then there's this strength that comes in and gives us the strength to press in and begin to really pray for those things. And you begin to hear God differently and more clearly than you ever have before. And there's just this strength that comes in your spirit. And it's good stuff. So fasting weakens the flesh and strengthens your spirit. Number four
is, and we're almost done here, fasting assists in bringing forth the will of God in a specific situation. I really think we've nailed that on point number 2. But you'll see the scripture then with Esther. And the Lord says there in Esther 4:16, go gather together all of the Jews, the people of God, who are in Susa, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. Esther's talking here. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So she is fasting for favor in the will of God. She needs the favor of the king to be able to speak without being killed, which is crazy. But it was also for the will of God to come to pass. Number five,
fasting brings clarity and understanding, right? This is huge. There's been, you know, for me personally as a minister, there's been some transitions in my life that have been hard transitions, and there's been moments when my wife and I will fast in those moments, you know? Some of those transitions have been easy, where we just needed real clarity on a decision, what we should do or not do. Sometimes there's two paths, and we need understanding, we need clarity, you know, and sometimes it's not just with a job, it's other things, and there's just this fogginess, you know what I'm talking about, that can just come in, and we can be so confused. And again, God is not the author of confusion. And you guys talked about this, mentioned the clarity and the understanding. And there's just something about where you take the time to trust the Lord and fast, and all of a sudden that fog begins to roll off, and God really brings things into focus. You know, when you've been so confused or concerned about this or that, and all of a sudden you see it very clearly what God's calling you to do. And sometimes it's to keep being patient, right? But he gives you the strength through that to continue to stay patient as you seek him for direction, for clarity, for understanding.
You know, I had a friend who, sure, Renee, go ahead. Sure, absolutely.
Speaking from experience about the clarity and the understanding. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
For sure, and then multiple times throughout. But it was last year was over something very specific that was going on in my life. I did. did not get that quick response. So my message is, don't get discouraged.
That's so good, Renee.
When you don't get, or when God doesn't just immediately, or even in a month or 2 months, you don't get what you are looking for. And it took a year for me to get my clarity and my understanding. And so now I have an acceptance.
That's good.
Of a situation that looked very bleak a year ago. And now I'm in a much better place. So, but it just didn't happen quickly.
I had a friend who she felt like the Lord told her to fast one day a week for 1 year and eat nothing but fruit. And she was praying over a certain relationship that she felt like the Lord was dealing with her on. And the whole thing was the Lord had put that on her heart. And at the very end of the fast, the Lord gave her the clarity as to why she was fasting. It was just really powerful. So that was a year-long fast. It was once a week. She ate nothing but fruit on that day, and she was praying for that person to have good fruit. So it was very thematic. She really felt the Lord telling her that. And I'm telling you, the results of that fast were incredible. It did take a lot of faith. And I'm telling you, she started strong, but that was got she grew to hate fruit. That was the result, one of the results of that fast. But number six and finally, fasting reduces and removes what we are not so we can become who we are destined to be. And I'll say that for your children too, or your grandchildren. Those of you guys who have grandkids, fast and pray for them. Your homework this week is to memorize your scripture as normal. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. So write this scripture on your index card. Bring it to Grow Track 2 next week. And second, prayerfully commit to join us in some way during Grow Track 2 of fasting habitually. Pastor taught at the beginning of the year at developing some uphill habits. Can Pastor Stephen and I just challenge you that this is one that you guys need to develop habitually in some way, whether it's once a month. Hey, that's between you and the Lord. We're not the Holy Spirit, but we are the pastors teaching you the word, and Jesus said, when you fast, when you pray. So create that habit and join us in some way. You have a packet. In your packet is an exercise called the 7 Habits, Basic Habits of Effective Fasting and Prayer. Feel free to read through that stuff, but that teaching, that outline, I strongly recommend you to walk through that process. Each step is crucial for you to be fasting for the right reasons and see results. And then finally, there's your Bible reading plan for this coming week. If you have any other questions, you're welcome to come talk to Pastor Stephen and I at the end. I'm going to pray God's blessing. Pastor Stephen, will you pray God's blessing over everybody tonight?
Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for tonight, God. Thank you for every individual in this room, Lord God. And Lord, thank you for what you've taught us on fasting, Lord God, and how you want that to not just be a one-time deal when the church does it, God, but that's something, an uphill habit that you want us to begin practicing when you lead us in that, Lord God. We want to stretch that muscle. We want to begin to do that. And so, God, I pray that to what we've learned about the right motives, Lord God, the right reasons for doing this, Lord God, and why we need to begin fasting and praying and interceding, Lord God. I pray that we just, at the end of this semester, hear incredible testimonies of those who begin this uphill habit of beginning to fast on a weekly basis, Lord God, that we hear stories of people in this room that take lunch once a week, one day a week, and fast that lunch, and not just to hang out, God, but to specifically pray during that lunch hour instead of eating lunch, Lord God, and that we hear stories, incredible stories from what you teach us and how you give us clarity and how you help us overcome obstacles because of the time we've just fought in prayer and trusted you and fasted, Lord God. We love you. Go with us tonight, Lord God. We love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hey guys, just a couple of things. Pastor Talia mentioned a packet. We have that for you guys at the back as you leave. So please make sure to grab one of those. It's got a lot of really helpful resources regarding fasting. Bible study tools are also at the back if you didn't get those. And any other resources, the Bible reading plan or notes that you guys may have missed in the past couple of weeks. Hope to see you guys next week.